Recording that. Welcome, everyone, to our first full day of retreat lessons. I hope everyone who wants to be here is. I want to bring to your attention that you should always check your junk mail if you don't see any email from us in the morning. We are going to try to send an announcement reminding you that we're starting and that when we're starting and letting you know the Zoom number will be on it, so it'll be easy for you to find. But we are having trouble when we send it out on the list. It seems to be going into your junk mail. So if everyone doesn't see it in their regular mail, please check your junk mail. But also know that if you can't find it, it'll be the same time, same place every day this week. So hopefully that will work. I am going to introduce to you Winfred Haynes. He is our cane travel instructor for the week. He will have other people working with him throughout the week, but today he is the solo instructor. He's going to tell us what he wants us to know this first day. And after about a half hour, a little longer, when he gives the word, we will open it up for questions. But so hang on to them if you think of them. Okay, take it away, Winfred.
Well, good morning, afternoon, where you guys are. For me, it's
see morning. If you can, Winfred, see if you can get a little, there you go, that's better.
To the mic here?
Yes.
It's better, okay.
Well, it was a minute ago.
I'm not sure what.
You sound kind of far away.
Yeah, okay. I'm not sure why I'm having trouble with that.
I don't know. See if you sit closer to it, maybe.
Yeah, I've got the mic right next.
Yeah, we can hear it when you touch it.
Okay.
There, that's good right now.
Okay, so that's good right there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, good. All right, so let me do one thing here. Turn off my speech because it's... okay. So, like I said, good afternoon, morning, where I am. My name is Winfred Haynes, and I am originally from New Mexico, a town called Alamogordo, where I worked at a rehabilitation center for the blind for 25 years. And I originally started out, excuse me, teaching physical fitness. We had a exercise program set up at our center. Eventually I started a running program where I took our students out to the track at the blind school, and then eventually started getting them into track meets and going to regular track meets during the year. And eventually some of the students went to national competitions for the USABA. I also then started a judo class where we did the same thing. We'd go to different judo tournaments, and eventually some of them went to a national competition. Then in 95, I started teaching orientation and mobility and the phys ed. In 2001, I moved here to Austin, and I've been here in Austin teaching orientation mobility since October 2001. So the 15th of October, I'll be here 20 years. So that's I did the National Orientation Mobility Certification. I did it by studying it for a test, and I had to travel in a new place that I'd never been to before, outdoors. They gave me a nice big route that could take over an hour and a half, and they give you all kinds of instructions, and you follow them. And if you have three questions, you can ask the general public. And if you, of course, got through it, you've got your NOMC. So I did that. I passed the travel outdoors. the travel indoors. I had to find some different obstacles in a really huge hotel and got through that. Then I had a written test. And that one I didn't complete completely. I didn't pass that because of just a little glitch in getting a scribe for me. But then
Winfred, this is Judy. I'm going to interrupt you for a moment to tell everybody who may not know this that you are blind.
Correct.
And that's important to know when you describe all the things you had to do to get your certification. And if you had not been blind to get that certification, we talked yesterday about learning shades. The person would have been required to use them.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Be quiet. You're welcome. No, it's okay. That's good. Although I did have to wear learning shades because I have a little light perception because I have retinitis pigmentosa, and I'm also a senior. I'm 66. So I'm also a senior. But that's how I got to where I am. And it's been a great thing. And it's been a really good career. So this morning, well, today, what we're going to be talking about is what the cane can do for you. So one of the things that you, when you do get it, when you get a cane, some of the things that it can do for you is, number one, it's going to be able to help you pretty much stay safe. So when you're out there traveling, when there are any obstacles and or steps up or down that you may not be able to see, or because you don't have depth perception or any other reasons for that, it can help you with knowing and being able to find and pick up that information. That's one of the things that it's going to do. Another thing that a cane can do for you is good for is for identification. And identification in it lets people in the general public know that you are blind or you have a visual impairment. And whenever you go to a grocery store, as my supervisor always talks about, he's blind, but he's got a fair amount of vision. But when he goes to the grocery store and he's trying to find a certain can of soup or noodles or something like that, and he says, I have to get down on the floor and get on the bottom shelf to try and find it, and I have it close to my face, and people are thinking that it's kind of weird looking at him. He said, when you have that cane in your hand now, that kind of helps to the public to identify that it's obvious that he's got a little bit of difficulty with seeing. And so, or like he said, when goes to a restaurant and he has to go to the restroom and he's looking up on the door, trying to find out whether he's at the right restroom or not, people are not thinking, what's this guy doing hanging out in front of the ladies' restroom, and they see the cane in his hand. So then it identifies that, okay, so this is the reason he's trying to find out which restroom it is. So those are really two really main things that I can tell you that is good for you, is the cane can do for you. one of the things that we want to talk about also is the length of the cane. A lot of times people want to know what is the correct length for a cane that you're going to be using. So what we do, we use where I work at our center, we use the long white canes, fiberglass canes, that you can get them from different companies. And there are different types of canes. Some are like called carbon fiber, really kind of really strong style, like sort of like plastic. The fiberglass cane that we use is very, it's flexible, durable. And the one thing, when the cane tip hits something, immediately you feel that information in your hand. So it identifies more or less what you're hitting in your hand right away. There are the folding canes that some are aluminum. There are straight canes that are aluminum. And you get information and good information from that. But one that we do where we use the metal glide tips on our canes, so you get better sound feedback from when that cane is tapping. Whereas with the fiberglass, some of the aluminum canes, it has it's kind of like a polyurethane or like a plastic kind of tip, and you still get good feedback or sound feedback, but it's not as crisp to help you, you know. The proper length for a cane, what we typically like to do is get a cane for the person from the chin or up to the nose, maybe sometimes higher, because depending on how fast the person walks, you're going to want to have a extra length so that whenever it hits like a step, you're going to be able to stop and react to where that step is so you don't go down. The shorter the cane, the faster, and you are a fast walker. If you have a really short cane, when it hits that step, sometimes you don't react in time. So that's, we look at the length of the cane by that way, and we experimented pretty much. You give them a cane that's maybe to the chin, and then you give them a couple of lessons, watch them walk, and then you can determine, okay, they probably do need a longer cane. And then you give them that longer cane. The techniques that we use is we call it open palm. So here the hand is turned up somewhat toward the ceiling. And when you manipulate, there's several ways that people do it. I kind of use my thumb and my index finger, and it's like a sitting that cane on my hand. It hangs off the knuckle by my index finger, right near the palm. And as I'll push my index finger to the right and my thumb to the left, which swivels the tip to the right and the handle to the left. And then I catch with my three fingers and I just close my hand to bring the tip back to the left and the handle to the right. And then, and when you're doing it this way, it's pretty smooth. It's really easy to move. So you're not using your wrist, which sometimes can be called cause carpal tunnel. And when we do a thing called walking in step. So if the cane taps left, you're stepping with your right foot, and then vice versa. In training, when I first taught my students, I don't worry about them being in step. My goal is to get them to move that cane properly with open palm left and right. And I say, so at this point, don't worry about if you're in step. Just worry about swiveling that cane back and forth. Once you can get the rhythm of that cane, then eventually your body's just going to fall in step all by itself. I pretty much do that all the time. We also use what we call pencil grip. And so the open palm is when you're in a wide open space and there's, you know, you can really get out there and step out. When we do pencil grip, it's literally just holding it like a pencil. And sometimes what I'll tell people, it's very also similar to holding a stylus. And so, and then you're still doing the proper, you're still arcing the cane left and right. And you want to go outside of your elbows or at the 2 o'clock and 10 o'clock position is how I explain it. And so the pencil grip is what's going to help you with when you're within a crowded area. That's the pencil grip. And like I said, there's different types of canes. NFB has some folding canes that are also fiberglass and then have the collapsible canes. For me, I'd say collapsible canes are, you know, you have to be really pretty finesse with them. Otherwise, it's just going to keep collapsing on you, which you really don't need when you're out on the town and on the street, especially. It's not a go to town, I mean, go to walking the streets kind of cane.
Winfred?
Yes.
This is Judy again. It might be important for us to mention a couple of things. Mm-hmm. One is that the NFB has what is called the independence market, and it sells all these canes that you're talking about. And we also have a free white cane program. So you don't always have to buy your cane. You can get one. You can't get another one for 6 months, though. So don't break it.
Right, that's right.
And you can either go to the NFB website or you can call the NFB and either talk to the independence market or listen to your choices on the phone, and one of them will be the free white cane program. The other thing that I would add is that when we talk about the pencil grip, and you mentioned it's like holding a stylus, for those of you who are new to being blind, one of the things that people who are learning Braille might learn how to do is to use what would be a blind person's pencil, and it is a two-object thing. There's a slate, which has the Braille cells that where you punch the dots, and the thing you punch the dots with is a stylus. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, very good. Thank you for that addition, because it is true. And getting that, again, the free white cane, you know, you can get that, like she said, every 6 months. At some time this week, and I can go over a little bit, is when you're storing your cane in the car, you want to be very careful not to get it hanging out there where it can get crushed by the door. So, you know, you just try and get in the car, bring the handle in, and then bring the tip in by your foot, and then you can then close the door after that. So I think maybe we could go ahead and do questions.
Sure.
Yeah. So I'm not sure.
There, okay. So if anyone would like to ask a question, you can either unmute yourself, but before you start asking your question, say your name so we can recognize you. If you want to raise your hand, you can, and our nifty Zoom people can recognize you that way. So one way or another, that's how you can ask a question, but we want to know who you are before you
meeting information. Mute is currently unmuted. Hold plus A button.
Someone wants the floor. I can hear that.
Yeah.
Hold line.
Who wants to? Somebody just raised their hand.
That's Judy from Maryland.
Okay.
From the state of Maryland. I have a couple of questions. First of all, thank you about the information about how to actually hold the cane. because I do find when I use my cane, my wrist starts to hurt. And now I realize it's because I'm holding it all wrong. I don't really have a lot of O&M training. One of my questions is, I have tried to get the straight white cane in the car, and the person who was driving me said, well, I'll just put it in the trunk, because I could not figure out where to place it. So you said put the handle in and then put the tip in, but put it in where?
Okay, so let's say you're getting in the front passenger seat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is one of the things you want to do. You want to get your body in the car first. The cane comes in last.
Okay.
So when you sit into the car, and this is another thing that we tell our students, is keep that the right leg out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay. So when you get in, put your left hand on the top of the cane. Okay. You're going to bring it over your left shoulder, kind of between you and the, bring the tip in and put it in right next to where your left foot's going to be on the floorboard. I mean, right foot's going to be on the floorboard. You with me?
Yeah. So is it laying down beside
the
seat?
Well, hang on. Let me, okay. Then you're going to bring.
Not yet.
Then you're going to bring your foot into the car. Now, okay. once you got your foot in the car and they can close the door, then you can bring it over your head, over your right shoulder, and then lay it beside you on the left-hand side, on the right-hand side by the door.
I'll so have to practice that. Thank you. Yeah. And my second question, and this is to anybody who can answer it. Do you ever feel vulnerable because you're out with a white cane? It's kind of a universal signal, and it lets everybody know that you have vision challenges, but do you ever feel vulnerable or like you'll be taken advantage of for that reason?
This is Judy. I'll try that one. Mm-hmm. When I first was learning how to use a cane, I probably felt vulnerable because I wasn't sure of what I was doing. But once I got used to the cane, it gave me more confidence and I could walk at a better pace. I knew what was going on around me. So yes, it's true. It lets people know that you're blind, but as they watch you, keep your head up and they're going to be impressed with what you're doing. And they're going to think twice maybe before doing something unkind. Now, having said that, anyone can be vulnerable. If someone is out to commit a crime, they won't have had time to think about it unless they see you on the same path every day. So it's unlikely they'll plan it for that reason, but they may see your purse or something like that. And, you know, the best thing to do is to let them have it unless you know self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
And not all right. But the number of blind people that I know that travel out there, most of us have never been mugged or attacked.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yes.
Patricia, okay. You've had your hand up. Would you like to ask a question?
You're welcome.
Okay, who did you just call on?
Patricia's had her hand up for a while.
Okay.
I just asked her to unmute.
Patricia, what is your last name? I'm not sure I...
It's Alt A to unmute. I think it's on the computer.
Hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Patricia, your audio is very quiet. Yeah.
Okay. Patricia Smith-Jenkins from Columbia.
We can't hear you.
You cannot be heard. You're okay. Very low.
Okay. Patricia, can you hear me?
Patricia, can you get closer to, are you on the phone or are you on a computer?
I'm on the iPad.
Okay, that's a little better. When you said you're on an iPad, get as close to it as you can and then talk to us. What is your last name, Patricia?
Smith Jenkins.
Oh, yeah. Jenkins. Okay. From South Carolina.
Right.
What is your...
I need to know, what is the difference between a folding cane and a collapsible cane?
So the folding cane, you can pull it apart and then you fold it into sections. Okay. And the collapsible,
okay,
is if you've ever watched pirate movies and they're looking out on over the sea and they pull this telescope out, that's a collapsible cane. So each section goes up into each other.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Joseph, you had a question. I see that your hand is raised.
Yeah, I had a quick question. I have tried the cane with the metal tip, and for some reason I end up tripping a lot with that. And I use a cane with a rolling like nylon tip.
Mm-hmm.
And I seem to prefer having the tip like in contact with the ground at all times, but I wear out tips pretty fast that way. So I'm not sure, and maybe I'm not using the other cane properly.
It's a possibility. Can you give me an idea? When you're holding that the white cane, the long cane, can you, yep, give me an idea how are you holding it and moving it?
I hold it kind of like what you mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm,
and I move it from left to right along the ground of the sidewalk.
Okay, what I suspect is that. Give it a try again, but think about when you have your hand wrapped around the cane, make sure that the index finger is on the same right close to your middle finger. Make sure that they're right close, somewhat close to each other, because typically a lot of people will do is in trying to get their finger along the outside side of the cane, they're bringing it right underneath the cane. And as they move it side to side, they're actually picking the tip up with that index finger. So think about keeping it, closer to that middle finger.
Okay.
Okay.
This is Shelley Koppel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Shelley, unless you're commenting on the last question, I want to refer to that. Is that what you're doing?
Yes, and another statement that was asked, a question.
Okay,
that was
asked. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, hi, Winfred, this is Shelley Koppel. I'm glad to meet you.
You too.
I've been certified in O&M as well. One of the things I'm thinking of with the nylon tip thing, some people keep it scraping on the ground left and right the whole time. So with a tip on the cane, like Winfred was talking about, you tap it left and right. So it's got that, definite,
yes,
left and right tap instead of scraping it on the ground the whole time. And that does wear out tips faster. Another comment about Ms. Patricia, hi, glad that you're in the call, is that there's a telescoping cane, which I think is, Winfred just used a different terminology, but it's telescoping it. It, all the sections fit inside each other. And that is a little less sturdy because as far as, like he's saying, really outdoor, really severe travel, because you've got to really make sure the joints are really sturdy, stretched out, kind of twist them as you bring them out. The other one that he was mentioning that's collapsible, folding, actually has kind of like a bungee cord in the inside of it. So as you take, yes, apart the section, it's folding within itself. I mean, it's jointed. Mm-hmm. That would be the better word to use. So that's the difference between those two. That's my only comment. Thank you.
Okay. And the only thing I would add is that when you are using the cane with the big tip on it, You don't lift it up high when you're tapping it, but make sure that you just, you know, tap it to the left when you're stepping right, and less than a quarter of an inch off the ground, if even that, then go from side to side as you do that. See if that keeps you from tripping.
Yeah. One of the other things that we, you know, and it's not like you are dragging your feet, but that's the other biggest thing that we talk about, is making sure that you make sure you pick up your feet. Okay. The other thing is keep your head up. And as far as looking vulnerable, if your head is up, and even if you have no idea where you are, if you have no clue what you're doing, even if you look and pretend to be confident and look like you're confident, then people are usually not going to do anything to you. I've seen where students have been really good travelers, and on one particular day, they're just off, and they're struggling, and their head's down, and then they're getting all kinds of people trying to help them. But on the days when they're walking really confident, and they want people to stop and ask them for to get solicit information, no one comes around. It's like, well, you look so confident, they don't think that you need it. So that's a big thing. Always look confident.
We have a raised hand, Viusen or Vison?
Vincent.
I think Vincent. Oh, my speech is butchering that name. So
yeah, Vincent? I think it's got a typo, but it's Vincent.
It is. Yes. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. A couple of things. I have both the solid cane that I got from the NFB, and mm-hmm. I have two of the collapsible ones. The collapsible ones are heavier. They have with a round ball, but when I travel, I find them very, very convenient because I can fold them up and they go in the airplane. I can just put it above in my suitcase or whatever. And I always carry an extra cane, because one time that I didn't, you know, one broke, and I had to buy an umbrella to substitute for it. And I did manage, but it was, the umbrella was considerably shorter. I had to be considerably more careful. And when I'm walking around in crowded streets, especially in cities or airports, things like that, or train stations, I tend to exaggerate the move of the, instead of doing 10 and 2 o'clock, mm-hmm. I do more like a 9 and 3. And the main reason is to alert other people. I want them to know that I cannot see, because mm-hmm. most of the times nobody's paying attention. And that's how one of my canes broke. Somebody just tripped over and came over with their suitcase and broke my bent it all out of shape, my cane. And so I use it to, you know, to notify people I'm coming either behind you or to the side to do whatever. And I really don't mind if they're not paying attention and I happen to tap them or whatever. I can always say, I'm sorry, I apologize, but I need to let them know that I am coming through. And the other thing is that I try to keep my left hand, I'm right-handed, so I try to keep my left hand free. I used to carry a suitcase with wheels, and I didn't find that very convenient, especially, you know, when getting to stairs or where I needed to use, either hang on to the side rail, make sure where the rail was or what have you. So what I started doing was I got a big backpack, and like a soldier's mm-hmm. type of backpack. And that's what I use when I travel. So one hand will always be free and the other one has my cane, and I find it gives me confidence. You know, perhaps I would have the balance, you know, whatever, but it just, you know, having one hand free to hold or in case I trip or whatever, just to keep my balance, helps me tremendously. And the last thing about safety, what I have also found out is that people are, I've never had anybody try to take advantage. I've had many, many people that actually try to help when and will ask if help is needed, or they would alert me if I'm there's construction. And
they never believe you, do they? when you well, say no, thank you, they never. They always say, "Are you sure?"
many times, yes, that happens. But you know, I've had children help me. I've had homeless people help me. I've had more help from homeless and from children than from other people sometimes, which is very, it's people, I think, basically, good natured and well-intentioned. And it's just a matter of telling them, yes, I want to cross the street, or no, I don't want to cross the street. I'm waiting for transportation or what have you. Mm-hmm. But that is, like I said, very, very, to me, I find it comforting. I find it helpful. And also I use it to warn other people that I cannot see them, just in case, just because I'm walking and I'm walking fairly fast many times that I cannot see. And the last thing is that I tend to drag also my, not just tap from on the left side or the right side. And the reason is that there are too many streets that have holes. There are too many, packages of garbage sometimes that are lying down. And if I don't drag the cane in front of me and I'm walking fairly at a good, pace, I will trip. And that has happened to me. So I don't care if it makes noise. I don't care if I have to replace the tip. I'd rather not trip. I've had too many scrapes, my knees and my shins and attest to that. So that's what I do.
So it sounds like you have a rolling tip on there.
I have an extra rolling tip that I always carry with me, but I also have the long cane, which I use. That's much lighter. So depending on where I'm going, if I'm not going to be traveling, like I said, airplanes or things like that, I use a long cane.
Okay.
Which is much lighter, so it's.
Mm-hmm. This is Liz. I have a tip for you guys about if you have. This works with the fiberglass straight canes for sure. If the tip of it gets broken off, you can flip it over and then place the handle where it is using, it's tapping the ground instead of the broken tip. And that'll give you pretty good feedback. I've had to limp back home with a student's broken cane during Mardi Gras that way. So you can do it. But having a spare is always handy. I have one of the fiberglass Chris Park folding canes that I always keep with me as well. We had a raised hand from Joe.
Thank you. Yes, I have two questions. The first one is when I'm in a restaurant, I have the straight cane. I think it's 62 inches. But I've noticed if I sit at a table, a table of four, you can't lay the cane down underneath the table because it's always sticking out. And we've tried different ways to do it. And the only way we have found out to be able to do it is hold on your shoulder. To me, just me, that's very uncomfortable trying to eat and hold the cane. So for a long white cane, how do you secure it under the table where it doesn't stick out and trip someone? That's my first question.
Okay. That's a good question. That's one we always get when we do things. So if the person that's sitting across from you, if there's usually someone across from you, right? When you get this, you put your cane, basically start out with it between your feet. You're going to slide the tip across to the table, the person across from you. And if your tip is now under that person's chair, the shaft of the cane is under the table. The handle of the cane is under your chair.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I agree.
Okay.
So then we'll do that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And then the other thing that if you want to, now sometimes people will do this, is they'll do the same thing, but then they'll let the cane handle rest on their inner thigh, their upper thigh.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a real key thing. And very important, you guys, when you lay your cane down like that, you want to make sure that the tip is under that person's chair. And to be sure that it's under your chair, bring the handle back under the chair, right? But always, 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 always put your foot on your cane. Because if the waitress that comes by that thinks that it's not stored properly wants to move it, they may move it and you may not have any clue that they've done it. They can be pretty sneaky like that. So put your foot on it. And if they can't pick you up, they can't have your cane.
Oh, this is Diane. Could I, all those things are just great. One thing that I like to do is try to get a booth, and then I lay the cane down next to the wall of the booth, you know what I'm saying? And then it's not in anybody's way. You're not going to trip anybody. But keeping your foot on the cane or somewhere on the cane, I still do that if I can. But the main thing is to keep it out of other people's way and to keep it where you could get your hand on it.
Yeah.
Diane, this is Pearl Riley, and I was about to make that same suggestion.
Okay.
A booth, and if you slide in first, you can put that cane against your shoulder, and it's between you and the wall, and it, you know, it doesn't interfere with anyone else.
Right, right.
Let's
remember that before you speak, say your name so we can recognize you, please, because we've got people who are raising their hand and other people cutting in.
This is Abby. Okay, I was just getting ready.
Abby's going to call on someone, and then we'll listen to the person who is unmuted.
Joe was unmuted, so Joe could go ahead and finish. We do have another lady that is patiently waiting and has her hand up for a while.
Sure. Okay, real quick. Sometimes, though, I have people who really don't like booths, and that's why I brought up at the table. Yeah, I use a booth whenever possible, and I do what the other two people are saying. Just a real quick question. Does the NFB sell folding canes? And I like canes that have a steel tip. That's my question. Thank you.
Yes, they do.
Yep, there's a Chris Park cane, and it's the fiberglass. You can get in all the same lengths, and it uses the same metal tips. Sally has her hand raised.
Hi, this is Sally. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I have a question back, way, way back, about the hand position, which I don't think I've ever gotten correctly. So that you're not wrist. And also, I find that I often pin my elbow on the top of my hip. I'm not sure if that's part of this method or not.
Okay, so another good explanation for the using open palm is as you're sitting there or standing, if you put your hand out like you're shaking someone's hand, and as you reach out to take their hand, your hands always meet in the center of your body. So when you grab their hand, it's in the middle of their body and yours too. And your arm is relaxed in that position right there. So your elbow is not necessarily resting on your hip, but it's in that same position, okay? Then you're gonna turn your palm up. And then you want to keep that hand in the center of your body. And the handle is between the belt buckle and navel. It all depends. The lower your hand is down, the more whenever you try and do open palm, you're going to raise that tip. It's just that's physics. If the higher your wrist is, like above your belly button, for example, in sternum or near your sternum, then as you swivel it left and right, the tip is going to stay low. So sometimes it's the angle of the hand, but the arm is pretty much relaxed as though you're reaching out to shake someone's hand.
And then you mentioned pushing back with your thumb. So you mentioned pushing one direction with your index finger and pushing back the other way with your thumb.
Yes. So your palm is up. Think about when you know how you swivel your thumb back and forth to do thumb wars. Have you ever done thumb wars?
I have, actually.
Okay. So when you move your thumb back and forth like that, that's how I'm moving my thumb. And my thumb moves to the left, it moves the handle of the cane to the left and the tip to the right.
Okay. So this is muscle coordination.
that it is.
Yeah. Okay.
But the key thing to it is, for everything that you're learning, is always it's practice. And you can sit down on a chair on your bed while you're watching TV, listening to radio, and you can do open palm. You can put your cane hand, and you put your other hand under your wrist. Just let your hand rest in your hand, okay? And then you work on that open palm. So when you're letting your hand rest, your wrist is on your, I'm right-handed. So when I rest my hand on my left hand, because I have to reach across, it's in the right part. It's right in the right spot. It's in the middle of my body. And then now I do is just work on doing open palm, just moving that cane left and right. Take a pair of shoes, put them out there, length of your tip, tap the shoe on one edge, tap the shoe, tap, tap, tap. That's a way of practicing open palm.
Well, I've got my cane. I'm doing this lesson with my cane here in the house. So thank you very much. That's helpful.
Winfred?
Yeah. Yes.
This is Shelley again. I'm sorry. I don't mean to micromanage what you're doing at all.
It's okay. It's fine.
I just had a thought. Back in the day when I was learning all this stuff, sometimes they would tell you to stand in a doorway and cane between the left and right side of the doorway. And mm-hmm. that way it was kind of around the same width as what you're gaining, trying to go for with how wide the arc would be. The other thing is I was used to do the couple inches off each side of your shoulder. So it was about as wide as your shoulders is what the arc to keep mm-hmm. it and keeping it low. So I'm just, those things might've changed. I'm not sure, but I like your suggestion of just sitting and practicing your arc. That is probably one of the best things you can do to help yourself.
Because it puts you in a very relaxed position. You're not under any stress to make it any certain with here's a couple of things that I do all kinds of odd things. And one thing is there's a place in the building where I work and there's a place outside, but my mindset is if you can tap that cane like 3 and 9, and practice 3 and 9, 3 and 9, 3 and 9. When you start walking, it automatically narrows down to say 10 and 2, 10 and 2. It's easier to go from, I think, arcing too wide to going to the right length than arcing too narrow and trying to fix it to go wider. So one thing that a friend of mine showed me is that you get out to a parking lot. And you stand right in the corner of that parking lot. And so you have the curb that runs east-west and the curb that runs north-south. You stand right catty-corner to that curb. You stand on top of it. You put your hand in that position with your palm, with your hand resting on the palm of your hand. And then you do the open palm and your tip is low. And if it bounces off of each curb, you know that it's low because you're standing high. It's hanging down at the proper angle and it's bouncing off the edges of the curb. And that's what's going to help you muscle memory that technique.
This is Judy. I want to mention something about straight cane versus a folding cane. You know, the most important thing is that you use the cane no matter what kind you decide you want. And it's an individual thing, but I want people to think about why you're using a cane and why you haven't used a cane before this. Because now I've been blind since I was a child, but when I was a child, no one said to me, where do you think you're going without a cane? They would say more likely, you don't need that cane, you're going to be with us. So having taken that into consideration, I was very self-conscious about using a cane. So I wanted a folding cane. It's not the better quality, I don't think, but I wanted to be able to hide it in my big purse. And so I think if you, whatever you choose to do, do it for the right reason. Because sometimes a folding cane can be convenient, but the most convenience that a folding cane has is when you're not using it. So with that in mind, everybody, we probably have time for a couple more questions or closing thoughts that you might have for the day. But
it's
after
just
that,
10 till.
Okay. So after that, though, we're going to have between the two sessions, we're going to have a door prize. Everybody get ready. You have to be there.
Yeah. So do you want any more questions?
No, keep the recording going right now. So let's see if there are any more questions.
I can't seem to raise my hand.
Oh, you have it, Marion. You are recognized.
Thank you very much, Judy. My difficulty is with the tip of the cane. I, like other people, have a tendency to trip whenever I hit something in the sidewalk. Any good suggestions on how to remedy that situation? Right now I'm using a rollerball, and it's very helpful, and I feel very comfortable with it. But there are occasions where I hit that particular part of the sidewalk where I would prefer to be able to acknowledge that it's there and try to avoid falling.
Let's see. I'm not sure I can... As far as if the tip, when it hits it, when the tip hits it, it's going to be about, how you react to what you're actually feeling. And so if you can, in time enough, feel what your cane is hitting, then you're going to be able to react to it. And that's what's going to keep you from falling.
Also, do you think that people tend to trip more if they're shuffling their feet rather than lifting up one foot and then the other?
Yes, that's for sure. Yeah.
That could be part of it.
And you want, again, you think about it, you may also have your head down. And so that's kind of allowing you to drag your feet more. So really picking your feet up is you really, really got to be able to do that. And that's what's going to save you from tripping quite often.
Thank you. While we're on the subject, that rollerball that I love so much is not very good for going off of curbs. Suggestions.
As in, you can't recognize that it's going off the curb?
No. For example, I meet my mobility specialist in her car. She has me walk out to the car, and you have to go down off the curb in order to get to her car in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. I find that what I end up by doing with the rollerball is holding it up in the air and trying to balance my way and going off the curb. That is not probably the right way to handle this.
No. If the tip is off the ground, it doesn't help you at all.
But so if I keep it on the ground, I'm going to end up by having a rollerball. Remember, it's a rollerball. I'm going to end up by slipping that way because it will roll out from underneath me.
Okay. With my weight. Another option could be and we throw this out to our students. Another option could be also using the support cane for that particular situation. Or when you get ready to step off the curb, turn sideways and step down sideways.
Will my weight hold on the rollerball if I go sideways?
You don't want to use that rollerball for support.
For balance.
Don't ever use a white cane for balance. I have known students who have used a support cane in one hand for balance issues and then use the white cane for probing and exploration.
Correct.
So that could be a possibility if you're worried about balance.
You know, what I would do when you're going through instruction, learning how to use the cane, I think I'd use the straight cane with the solid tip. And you may find, then afterwards, if you find you like the rollerball for some reason, that's fine. But at least you'll feel more confident in going off a curb with the straight cane that has the tip on it.
And the next thing within that is when you get your appointments and everything set up with your mobility, the specialist that's coming to work with you, I want you to really help me with your job by coming over here, getting out of the car, and really working with me on this particular thing. So if you have to work in during your class time, if you have to work 30 minutes, 10 minutes of working on getting up and down the step to getting to their car, that's going to be part of that lesson where they're teaching you how to do that safely. Because you may need to get in a Lyft, Uber, another friend's car, and you're going to have to then know how to step up and down off, get off that step. So press your instructor into working with you on doing that, and insist that they do it more than one time so that you really know that you're comfortable with it.
Sounds like a good idea. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We have two minutes and we have one more hand raised.
Okay. Let's take one more hand raised question.
One more. Yeah.
Sandy, I've asked you to unmute. There you go.
It's really not a question. I'm wondering, though, if maybe a cane that's a little bit longer would give more stopping time so that may help prevent some of the trip potential.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
This is Diane. This is a quick comment because I know we're on a schedule here. If you are a guide dog user, which I have been for years, I have not been for the last 3 or 4 years, but I have all of my life, don't let your cane skills go. Still always have a cane with you and practice with it because you don't ever want to forget how to use it.
Thank you.
Great, that's good.
Thank you, Winfred. I don't know if you have any last closing words. Otherwise, we shall go on to our door prize. Did you have one last thing?
I just want to say that I'll be in these meetings all during the week, and I have some other people that are going to be handling the other lessons, and I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to, you know, teach and co-teach and all that. So that's about it, really.
All right. Thank you. We can stop the recording now. And we are going to get ready. I have asked Alexa.